Good morning. As you know, our church has been very blessed over the years with some pretty amazing kids. What you may not know is that for many years our youth group has been self-supporting. Since 2001, the youth group has worked diligently to raise funds through craft shows, calendar sales, flea markets, and our famous cookie walk. With these funds, they have participated in many charitable and faith-based endeavors. In addition to fundraising, the youth group has collected gently used books for the North Hills Youth Alliance, coats for the North Hills Community Outreach, and food for the Bread of Life Pantry in Etna. Many years we stood outside of Giant Eagle on Super Bowl Sunday in all kinds of weather to collect boxes of food and cash donations for the food bank, in addition to hosting soup and salad luncheons for our church members in exchange for canned good contributions. But some of you may not know that each year the youth group has raised between $1,000 and $2,000 needed to attend a retreat weekend at Faith Ranch in Jouett, Ohio. The sign in front of the church was purchased with funds from what started as a penny drive by the Sunday school children and blossomed into more than $5,000 in contributions in less than 6 months. Starting in 2003, each year the youth group used funds that they had raised to adopt a family through the North Hills Community Outreach. These families were provided with a new stove or washing machine or dryer and some furniture anonymously. Following the flood in 2004 that caused so much damage to our Christian education building, the youth group raised funds necessary to purchase new draperies for the stage in McFadden Hall at a cost of more than $5,000. In 2007, the youth raised more than $1,600 from their Pennies for Pakistan initiative to help the flood-ravaged country of Pakistan. These funds were donated through Presbytery from our church as a missions contribution. In 2008, the youth group even hosted a Pampered Chef fundraising luncheon party for the ladies of the congregation. Many years, when there were still tags on the angel tree, the youth group would adopt these angels, and then they'd spend the day together shopping for gifts for the children using their own monies. Over the years, as the craft shows and cookie walks became more successful, the youth group made the decision in 2008 to establish a youth group scholarship, which would be made available to active members of the youth group at the time of their high school graduation in the amount of $500. The purpose of this scholarship was to give back to the youth who had given so much of their time and talents to others. In order to qualify for this scholarship, a youth group member must be actively involved in the life of the church, have plans to pursue some form of higher education, and be willing to provide a presentation to the youth group and/or the congregation about what their future educational plans are and how being a part of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church has helped them in their spiritual journey. Past recipients of this scholarship are Stephanie Spihar, Bethany Sangle, and Patrick Tagey. This year we have two youth group members who have chosen to apply for the scholarship, and both are here today with their presentations. First to present today will be Jeff Nix, followed by Christian Tagey.
Good morning. I've been raised a Presbyterian my entire life. I've come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I've experienced the love of God directly in my life. He has turned my life around in many ways that would astonish even the most sincere believers. When I was temporarily removed from school in the sixth grade, I believe that God gave me an option out by allowing me to make new friends and get a fresh start. I do not think I'd be here today if I would not have had that life-changing experience. It really helped me grow up quick and realize that I was not heading in the right path. Every area of my life has been touched by Him, and I've been guided around many obstacles in order that I may come out on top. What I mean by this is God has helped me when doing everything that I do best. That includes my schoolwork, playing sports, and others when needed, and helping others when needed. When I needed to get my grades up, I put the time in, and I got the results I needed. When playing sports, I believe that God helped me prevent injury from ever impairing the rest of my life. I have seen many miracles and blessings come to pass, and the Lord really does provide for all my needs, even some of my wants too. He has been very gracious. My Uncle Stephen is currently suffering from a chronic illness and has many other medical problems. However, due to the fact of medicines being in the current upstanding they are today, in God's power and will to help him persevere, he is still with us today. Another example of how God has worked his magic is my grandmother has heart problems, and God has been able to pull her through each and every time something comes up. I'm very hopeful that this continues. God has given me many opportunities to do things that not everyone gets to do. Some of these things include being blessed enough to be able to attend Philmont, continue my Boy Scouting experience, attain the rank of Eagle Scout, get invited to IMG Academy, play sports, do well in school, have two loving families, and all my friends that make me love God. Since moving to Pittsburgh in 2006, I have been gifted with opportunities. My family decided to join Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church when we first moved here to continue our Presbyterian faith, the way I was baptized. I have been a very active member in the youth group, attending every meeting and not missing one for any other reason than I was out of town visiting my father. Youth group has taught me many values, and I try my best to uphold them. Some of these values include faith, loyalty, dedication, perseverance, trust, courtesy, and compassion. The Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Youth Group provided me with several opportunities as well that I would never have been able to take advantage had I not been here. Some of these opportunities include going to Faith Ranch with Linda and going skiing a couple times. I believe God truly has changed my life and aided me in every aspect of my life. I did not realize how much he truly has done for me until I took the time to sit down and write it all out. Now looking back on it, I am very grateful to have God in my life, and I wish to continue to keep it that way. I will continue to live my life the way God intended and hope that I can affect others to turn them the way I did. Thank you.
For as long as I can remember, I've been at this church. I have pictures of me being baptized at this church, and I remember all of the good people here. This church is truly like a family, and I keep it in my heart as you are all my relatives. Today, I am not going to be wishing to receive the scholarship for $500. I heard recently that pipes have broken in the CE building and they were needing money to fix the problem. And what I would like to do is forego the opportunity for the scholarship and donate the $500 to the fund for the broken pipes over in the CE building. The reason I'm doing this is because this church is my family and they do need it more than I do at this time. You guys have given so much to me over the years and allowed me to do so many opportunities through scouting, buying all of the Easter candies and the greens for all of you out there who's done it. And this is my way that I can say thank you to that. The church definitely needs the $500 now more than I do for college. And that is why I'm going to be giving it back. And I thank you all, and I love you all so much as a family. And I do thank you for the opportunity. But I will be foregoing the scholarship to donate it to the broken pipes. Thank you.
The first scripture reading is Luke 10:25-37. And behold, a lawyer stood up to him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered right. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, then set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Which of these 3 do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, "The one who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The second reading is Matthew 13:1-9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Great clouds gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat there. And while the crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came in and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear."
Okay, not yours.
So this summer I had the privilege to go to Thailand and Cambodia with my school, and it was an amazing, life-changing experience. So that is the flag of Thailand. When we got into Bangkok, we ended up staying at Tartawan Place, which is one of the hotels. And here's a picture of the city from our hotel. And then here's me in front of it. And then we did some touring when we were in Bangkok. This is the National Museum. And here are just some items that are in it. Is that better? Yeah. And then this was one of the old kings of Cambodia's seat that he would sit in and have people carry him around, and I thought it was pretty cool. And here's several different images of Buddha that they have there. Then we also got to go to Wat Po, and Wat in Thai is just another term for temple. See the sites. They also, this is where they train people to give Thai massages as well. It's pretty cool. We also got to see the National Palace, and this is where traditionally the kings of Thailand would stay. However, it's now a national landmark for them. So here's me, and then if you look to the left of my picture is the actual palace and house where they used to stay. And that's the grounds. Here's more temples that are in front of it and another part of it. Then after we did some touring in Bangkok, we went to Chiang Mai and university to get prepped for our service in a village that we were going to, where we would be teaching English for 2 days, as well as doing other community service projects that they needed. So here's us. I was in class for a day, and we just learned several Thai traditional customs and a little bit about their language and just things that we need to watch for and how to better prepare ourselves for living with homestays in the village. And then we The next day we went to the village, and the name of the village in English was the Beautiful Teak Forest, because it was right in the center of a teak forest that's actually protected by the Thai government, you know, just as a national park would be, and it was absolutely gorgeous. So here's another picture. One day we went down, and this is actually a river that we saw. It's, it was just an amazing picture. And if you notice right here, during the rainy season, the water will actually come up and be all the way up to where the tree line is right here, and then recede. Also there. So it was really a different, you know, climate than what we have here. It was really an amazing experience to be living somewhere like that. And then here's my host family that I stayed with. It was really amazing. They were really loving. My host mom was actually one of the school teachers for the primary students, so first through fourth. So it was really cool to interact with her because she knew a little bit of English. and it was also cool because she taught my friend Eric and myself Thai. We learned 60 Thai phrases, which was really interesting to be able to do that, and we learned how to script them. And then we taught them English, and we were helping her daughter learn some English as well when we were at home. It was, you know, it, being there with them, it was really amazing, because the first time when we got there, they originally said, well, you know, you're family now, you're part of us. And, you know, I was like, okay, but by the end, we had built such a connection with them, even though we couldn't, you know, talk to them or understand the language, just by being with them and eating with them and, you know, doing just common things that we would take for granted every day, we built a relationship that was just, you know, it was really, really hard to leave when we had to. So here's another picture of the road, or one of the roads. So it's literally, you know, this village is built right into a teak forest. Said earlier. Here's some of the school kids during the beginning of the day. They would, you know, line up outside of the school and raise the Thai flag and, you know, say their national anthem, some similar how we would say the pledge. It was pretty interesting to see the similarities there. And then we got to teach them for 2 days. So knowing that we couldn't, you know, go into full English lessons, we tried to incorporate a lot of games, you know, using English words and other, you know, numbers and a lot of stuff like that. So one of the cool things that we did was taught them how to say younger brother, older sister, and different family words. And then we had them color pictures of their family, which was pretty cool. That was one activity. And then here's another one. We were going over and teaching more English, and then we were doing a song. Here's more of them when we were getting ready to this point. Saying, I don't want to be a chicken, I don't want to be a duck, which they loved, because we found two feather dusters that we used as tails instead of tail, or we used tail instead of butt. It was pretty interesting. it was really fun working with them too, because it was, you know, they all loved what we were doing, and, you know, it was just a lot of high energy, and, you know, you really could tell that they were learning and appreciated us as well, and it was a lot of fun. So here's us some more doing, teaching. And I got the privilege of helping to plan the lessons, because as you, if you don't know, I'm going to be a teacher when I graduate. So Alina was also my co-teacher, so we got to plan all of the lessons and whatnot for our students, because we taught fifth through seventh, and then the other ones taught 1 through 4 when they were there. So here's us when they were drawing their pictures. Their families. We were just going around helping them. And then here's us going over images, because what we learned is it's easier to show pictures of what it was and then say this is, you know, mother. It's easier to relate, you know, and they can grasp the material easier. So we were going through that. Then on the last day, I had the privilege of being able to work with the younger students, because our class got done early. So I was helping out there. And then when we were about to leave the village, we were all hard, and it was really hard on all of us because we built these amazing relationships with these people, and they welcomed us into our community and showed us so much compassion and love, just how we showed them our compassion and love. It was just really heart-wrenching. But my host sister ended up drawing this picture of our family. So it had my brother Pat, brother Eric, and then my family from Thailand. And then after we taught English for the 2 days, we were planning on teaching it for a week, but there was a Buddhist holiday, so they had off 2 of the days that we were going to teach. So we ended up doing community service. One thing we did was we painted an entrance sign and welcome sign outside of the school. And then the second day we built check dams in the forest, and these are designed so that when it rains, that the water doesn't just go straight down and it diverges throughout the forest, helping to use more rain to help the forest grow. So here when we built these, we used everything from the teak forest. So the bamboo was there, the logs we placed to hold the bamboo were from the forest, and the dirt we filled it in was right there. Even the hammers we used was just an old tree. So that's myself with a Bam Bam Club. And then we did get to have some fun as well. One of the afternoons, we ended up going to some waterfalls where we could go swimming. So our group and a bunch of the students we were went to a waterfall, and we got to swim around all day, and it was, well, I guess half a day. It was really, really fun, and it was really beautiful. And then I also got to ride on the back of my host mother's scooter, which was fun. And then here's all of my group as well as all of the host families. And it was very, very hard to leave. We had to realize that, but it was still hard because, it had become a community similar to, what we have here at Glenshell Valley. And then we went to the Kingdom of Cambodia, and we got to see Angkor Wat. So that's, a lot of times you'll see that picture. That's one of the temples in Angkor Wat, because really what it is, it's a complex of a bunch of different temples, and that's the main one. But, it's a huge, huge, vast area with a bunch of different temples on it. So here's us outside one of them, and this temple was pretty cool in particular because it had a bunch of trees and vines. It really was like if you could imagine a traditional temple that was in the rainforest, that was built long ago, that would be what it was. And then there was also a cool one where they had all these faces carved into it, and then we also got to do that, so my nose is seems like it's touching that. Cool. Okay, and then, this also was a great learning experience because we got to learn about a different culture, and it was with my leadership program that I'm going into it, and one of the aspects that we learned about was bad leadership. And when we were in Cambodia, we had the ability to see how bad leadership affects people firsthand. Now, I do have to say what I'm, about to show you, it is a little bit hard for me because it's what I'm going to share is comparable to the same thing that would be comparable to the Holocaust. But in Cambodia, during the communists, when communism was in Asia, there was a leader that came into power, Pol Pot, and he decided that he was going to create his ideal of Cambodia, which was where people just worked in rice fields all day, and there was no education, there was no upper class. And the way that he achieved this was that him and his regime committed mass genocide to only allow the people that he wanted to live. So your farmers, to go out and work all day and get fed very little just to support what he thought was this good empire. And one of the places that we visit was Tolslang, and it was a school that got turned into a prison for people that were not part of his cause. So school teachers, anybody who was educated, and even some foreign individuals. There was an American that was taken there. There were several Vietnamese that were taken there because Cambodia and Thailand were at a war with them as well at the time. So these are the graves of the last people that were at the facility before it got shut down. This is a picture from the third floor balcony. They had to barbed wire it off so nobody would jump off. Here's a picture of another complex with holding cells in it. So here's a picture of the actual cells, and that's what inside looked like. You really didn't get a lot of room. And then also in rooms, they would have pictures of individuals, because just like other mass genocides, this was systematic. You know, they recorded everything because they believed that they were doing good for their country. And then we also had the experience to go into killing fields, and this is where they would take prisoners from Tolslang and other people and actually kill them. What you see before you right now are the mass graves. This is a tree where soldiers would take kids and kill them on it. I'm not going to go into any more detail about that. And then they're still finding remains from people that were killed. But then, you know, we spent the day, you know, it was really great to reflect on this and, you know, really see the power of what bad people can do. But, you know, we continued on, we got over it. We also attended a cooking class when we were in Cambodia. So it was pretty fun. We got to learn how to cook traditional Cambodian food, which Cambodian food also is influenced Thai and Vietnamese. So here's us in the market where we went and bought all of the food. Then we're all cooking. Then here's the final product. Cool. And then we also had the opportunity to see what good leaders can do. This gentleman is French, and he got assigned to a hospital there when the French started sending people back to help aid Cambodia and Vietnam, because they were once colonies of those countries. And this doctor ended up continuing past his time, and he opened up hospitals for children where it's completely free of charge for any child who gets there. They will pay for your transportation to get there, any medicine that you need, any surgeries that you need. It's everything that you would think about that you would need to get to the hospital while you're there, to get home, is completely paid for because of the children. And he raises the money to do this by asking countries to donate, as well as playing concerts. He's actually a world-renowned cello player, and we got to see him perform. It was a really great show, and he's really doing an amazing job and amazing things in Cambodia to help them. And we were also able to go to an elephant camp, which is pretty cool, to go on an elephant ride. And then here's a baby elephant, so. And then there we got to see a show. It was really interesting. And then that was pretty much in sum my trip to Thailand and Cambodia. I have a lot more pictures that I'll put on after this that I'll run through my computer for you to see. But now, going back to, you know, why this was related to my faith and to, you know, my being a Christian, and, you know, as, you know, the scriptures said, one of our jobs as Christians is to be good Samaritans to others. Now, excuse me. I had the opportunity to go and be in a village and, you know, be a Samaritan to help teach kids English and, you know, to help give them skills that they're going to be able to use in this global world, because Bangkok in Thailand is an extremely modern city. In fact, you know, it's not, you know, comparable to Pittsburgh or anything like that, but, you know, it's paved streets and it's, you know, amazing how far it's, you know, it's come in the past, you know, 20 years that it's, you know, it's a modern thriving city. So, you know, by this we're hoping that our experience will be able to help them to continue their education, to get jobs, and, you know, be open to new ideas and different people and realize that, you know, other people are there and we're loving and we're open to accepting you. So it's helping them to do that. And really just to be, it was just fantastic to be able to share the love that Christ has shown me to these people and to give back to them. The other aspect, or from the other scripture, I wanted to say is, you know, a future educator too, you realize what, you know, there is evil in the world and that we need to share our love so that atrocities in Cambodia and things like that won't happen again, because it's our Christian beliefs of love and compassion and loving your neighbor that's the only thing that can stand up to that. You know, tying this back into a really quote that I love, there was this preacher or a Christian during the Holocaust that said, you know, I didn't, you know, when they came for the communists, I didn't stand up or say anything. When they came for the Jews, I didn't stand up and say anything. When they came for the gypsies and all these other, you know, different types of people who thought were inferior, I didn't stand up. And then when they finally came to take me, there was no one left to stand up for me. And it's our job as Christians to stand up for this love and to fight for loving your neighbor and loving people, even though they are of a different culture, race, belief, Christian, and creed. Hopefully you'll be able to build a relationship so that you can share your message with them and help save them. But even though you might not be able to do that, and you're always hoping that you can push and do that, just by showing your love and compassion, you're doing what we're asked to do by Jesus and to continue on his message of love. So that's all that I have. So. And if anybody wants to ask me any questions about my trip in particular, I'll be here after as well for a little bit. So.